when I have seen by time's fell hand effaced the rich proud cost of outworn buried age, when sometime lofty towers I see downraised and brass eternal slave to mortal rage.
You are listening to a Shakespearean sonnet being read by David Allen, a page from this afternoon's edition of Anthology. This is Fleetwood. This afternoon, WNBC, in conjunction with the Poetry Center of the YM and YWHA, 92nd Street and Lexington Avenue in Manhattan, brings you the fourth and final program of our summer Shakespearean Festival on Anthology. Not that we're complaining, mind you. But if Anthology happened to be an NBC network program on this particular afternoon, we'd have an interesting father and son attraction for our marquee. On the network at this moment, the voice of David Ross is undoubtedly introducing one of the great concert or operatic stars of today on the Golden Hour. Here on WNBC, we are about to introduce his son, David Allen, who will read for you several of the more familiar Shakespearean sonnets, with original music for the harp composed by Curtis Beaver and performed by Margaret Ross. We'll listen first to sonnet number 64, When I Have Seen by Time's Fell Hand Defaced, as recorded by Poetry Records.
When I have seen by time's fell hand defaced the rich proud cost of outworn buried age, when sometime lofty towers I see downraised and brass eternal slave to mortal rage, when I have seen the hungry ocean gain advantage on the kingdom of the shore and the firm soil win of the watery main, increasing store with loss and loss with store, when I have seen such interchange of state, or state itself confounded to decay, ruin hath taught me thus to ruminate, that time will come and take my love away. This thought is as a death, which cannot choose but weep to have that which it fears to lose.
With the temperature hovering near the top of the thermometer, it seems a little incongruous to draw a similarity between the weather and a lovely lady. In Shakespeare's day, however, the climate must have been more suited to such sentiments. As we listen to David Allen read sonnet number 18, Shall I Compare Thee to a Summer's Day?
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sometime too hot the eye of heaven shines, and often is his gold complexion dimmed, and every fair from fair sometime declines, by chance or nature's changing course untrimmed. But thy eternal summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of that fair thou owest. Nor shall death brag thou wanderest in his shade, when in eternal lines to time thou growest. So long as men can breathe, or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee.
Shakespeare wrote his first play around 1591, and by 1600 had become the most popular playwright of his time. It was then, at the height of his maturity, just before undertaking the great tragedies Hamlet, Othello, Macbeth, and King Lear, that he wrote his sonnets. From the Poetry Record LP album, here is David Allen reading sonnet number 116, "Let Me Not to the Marriage of True Minds."
Let me not to the marriage of true minds admit impediments. Love is not love, which alters when it alteration finds, or bends with the remover to remove. Oh no, it is an ever fixed mark that looks on tempests and is never shaken. It is the star to every wandering bark, whose worth's unknown, although his height be taken. Love's not time's fool, though rosy lips and cheeks within his bending sickle's compass come. Love alters not with his brief hours and weeks, but bears it out even to the edge of doom. If this be error, and upon me proved, I never writ, nor no man ever loved.
From Shakespearean sonnets, let's turn to another byline of the Bard of Avon and listen to three Shakespearean songs. The songs which Shakespeare wrote for his plays have been set to music by a considerable number of composers, Haydn, Franz Schubert, Schumann, to mention a few. We've chosen three for your enjoyment this afternoon, and they'll be performed by Jean Elsperman, mezzo-soprano, and Lawrence Chelsea, baritone. The musical direction and accompaniment is by Fritz Kramer. One of the best-known Shakespearean songs is heard in Act 5, Scene 3 of As You Like It.
It was a lover and his lass,
with the hay and the hoe and the hay,
and the hay nonny no,
and the hay
nonny nonny no, that through the green corn field did pass
in springtime,
in springtime, in springtime, the only pretty ring time when birds do sing.
Hey
ding a ding a ding, hey ding a ding a ding a ding a ding, sweet lovers, lovers spring. This carol carol they began that hour with a hey and a ho and a ha.
And a hey, nommy, no.
And a hey,
nommy, nommy, no.
How that a life was but a flower in springtime.
Springtime,
in springtime, the only pretty ringtime when birds do sing. Hey, ding,
hey, ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding,
sweet lovers love the spring. And therefore take the present time
with a hey and a ho and a hey
and a hey nanny no
and a hey
nanny nanny no. For love is crowded with the prime
in springtime,
in springtime,
in springtime, the only pretty
ringtime when birds do sing.
Hey ding a ding a ding,
hey ding a ding a ding, ding a ding, sweet lovers love the spring.
Our second Shakespearean song was composed in 1795 by Franz Joseph Haydn. It's one of a group of six dedicated to Lady Charlotte Bertie. From Twelfth Night, Act Two, Scene Four, the song She Never Told Her Love. Final song can't be classified as a genuine Shakespearean lyric, but the poet-playwright refers to this particular melody twice in The Merry Wives of Windsor. Our reasons for playing it this afternoon will, I'm sure, be quite obvious. Here again are Gene Elsperman and Lawrence Chelsea.
Delighting in your gold. delight.
Rich with my heart of gold.
And who but Lady Greensleeves?
Greensleeves was all my joy. Greensleeves was my delight. Greensleeves was my heart of gold. And who but Lady
Since this afternoon is our final program in what we hope will be an annual Shakespearean festival on Anthology, let's pause for a moment to preview what will undoubtedly be one of the most exciting and spectacular theatrical events of the coming season. From September 21st through October 17th at the Metropolitan Opera House, the Old Vic Company will present their new production of A Midsummer Night's Dream, starring Robert Helpman as Oberon, Maura Shearer as Titania, and Stanley Holloway as Bottom. The company of 65 will play its first performance of The Dream at the Edinburgh Festival, after which the entire cast and costumes will be flown here on two specially chartered planes. Robin and Christopher Ironside will design the production. Their work was seen here last in the Sadler's Wells Ballet production of Sylvia. Michael Benthall will direct, and the incidental music by Felix Mendelssohn will be performed by a symphony orchestra assembled here under the direction of Hugo Rignol. The scherzo from A Midsummer Night's Dream, to which you're listening now, is being performed by the Columbia Symphony Orchestra, Artur Rudzinski conducting. Although Charles Louis-Ambroise Thomas is chiefly remembered for Mignon, there is an aria in his opera Hamlet which enjoys equal popularity. The Chanson Bacchique, or Brindisi, occurs in the second act, when Hamlet, in a moderately jovial mood, due to a little excess tippling, tries vainly to overcome his natural melancholia. We'll hear the aria sung by Giuseppe Valdengo. Although we can't admit this is too Shakespearean, it is certainly a tour de force requiring vocal gifts out of the ordinary. From Hamlet, Act Two, Brindisi, O vin di scaccia la tristessa. So we come to the end of our Shakespearean festival for this summer. We hope you've enjoyed this four-week cycle as much as we've enjoyed presenting such wonderful stars as Sir Laurence Olivier, Pamela Brown, Alec Guinness, and many, many more. We've discussed and discarded a dozen or so ideas for ringing down the final curtain. We thought perhaps a line or so from Shakespeare, such as, good night, parting is such sweet sorrow. We even looked for an appropriate moment among our many Shakespearean LPs. Finally, like a bright beam of light in the darkness of the night, a most obvious and delightfully suitable solution. Ladies and gentlemen, these words of wisdom from the Messrs. Harry Clark and Jack Diamond as delivered in Cole Porter's Kiss Me, Kate.
The girls today in society go for classical poetry. So to win their hearts, one must quote with ease Aeschylus and Euripides. But the poet of them all will start 'em simply raving is the poet people call the Bard of Stratford-on-Avon. Brush up your Shakespeare, start quoting him now. Brush up your Shakespeare, and the women you will wow.
Just to claim a few lines from Othello, and they'll think you're a hell of a fella.
If your blonde won't respond when you flatter her, tell her what Tony told Cleopatra.
If she fights when her clothes you are mussing,
what her clothes much ado about nothing. Brush up your Shakespeare, and they'll all kowtow. With the wife of the British ambassador, try a crack out of Troilus and Cressida.
If she says she won't buy it or take it, make her take it what's more as you like it.
If she says your behavior is heinous,
kick her right in the Coriolanus.
Brush up your Shakespeare, and they'll all kowtow.
Think thou, and they'll all kowtow. Us buttons all kowtow.
Anthology, number 21, dated Sunday, July 25th, 1954. Next week, two modern poets, one a man with an American message, the second a man who writes and speaks with an American wit we all know and love. Reading their own poetry, we'll hear Carl Sandburg and Ogden Nash. Anthology comes to you with the cooperation of the YM and YWHA Poetry Center, 92nd Street and Lexington Avenue in Manhattan. John Malcolm Brennan, director. The program is produced by Steve White, written and directed for WNBC by Draper Lewis. Until next Sunday at 3, this is Fleetwood saying good luck and good listening.